Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast experiment in which Andy Barr...
Yes, it's me.
...and I have been cloning ourselves.
You've got it right, my man. We have been cloning ourselves, and we have given those clones a task.
Yes, and that's to learn about three things in 24 hours, and then we have invited special guests to explain other things to the clones. But these clones only understand three things to begin with.
What are you going to do?
The three things in this episode are...
Columbo.
Steamboat Willie.
And chainsaw. A chainsaw, I'm presuming, but the notes only say chainsaw, so that's what I've gone with.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Andy, what are your feelings about Columbo?
I'm quite fond of Columbo. I enjoy an episode of Columbo now and again.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode all the way through, and it's very highly regarded, the old Columbo.
Yeah. For a while, I had a friend at school whose uncle was, I heard the information correctly the first time round, and then in my head I made it more interesting. So his uncle played Vandervalk, another, I believe, television detective.
Yes.
I heard that, and then I went, you know what, this would be better if it were Columbo. So I went around for a little while telling people that my friend's uncle was Columbo.
Renowned actor Peter Falk.
Yeah, and then later, kind of remembered that was wrong.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of tele detectives.
You're absolutely right, my friend. There are, yeah.
Well, the traditional thing was they all had a quirk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Miss Marple's old.
Yeah. This one's David Jason.
Yeah.
That's his quirk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Number of quirks, I hear.
There's the one who's...
This guy's got an absolute fucking raft of quirks that maybe we don't want to look into. Maybe some people have looked into, but they've shoved them under the rug.
There's also the one who's a priest.
Who's that?
It's Mark... I forget his second name.
Father Mark.
He's got a very normal name. He's in the Fast Show. It's that guy.
Mark Williams?
Yeah.
Mark Williams?
I think so. Yeah.
What's that? What show's that?
Priest Detective.
Who commissioned that?
I think it's been on for ages. Father Brown, I think it's called.
Right, so, you know, one day in the fucking BBC office, it's the day after the Christmas party, everybody is hanging out their arse. Mm. Mark Williams comes in, chances his arm and says, Priest Detective, and they go, yeah, whatever, here's some money, now go away.
Watch out for Jason on your way out. Yeah, basically.
Right. Yeah. Who else is there? May Gray.
Who's that?
I think that's another Agatha Christie character. Yeah. I could be completely wrong.
Hmm. But the 'cause now you get your line of duties.
Bergerac.
Bergerac's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nettles. who, of course, then went on to be DCI Barnaby in Midsummer Murders.
And, of course, Poirot.
John Nettles wasn't Poirot.
No, I'm saying Poirot is another detective.
I know.
Whose quirk is that he's quirky.
Mm. Well, his quirk is that he's fat and Belgian. That's the...
Yeah.
Yeah. The little grey cells. The little Belgian grey cells.
Yeah. And, of course, we get Kenneth Branagh's Poirot these days.
Which is, you know, it pales in comparison to the Suchet, really, doesn't it? Or the... that old cunt who was in one of the older ones, Peter. I watched it over Christmas. It was on over Christmas.
Is it a well-known actor?
Ustinov.
Oh, Peter Ustinov was in Columbo, yeah.
Yes, he did a Death on the Nile. And possibly did a Murder on the Orient Express as well.
Peter Ustinov was they always used to do... There was, in the sort of 70s, 80s, there was like a famous program, An Audience With. Mm. And it was normally reserved for comedians, which makes sense. Yeah. It's an audience with this comedian.
Yep.
But they used to do it with like actors like Peter Ustinov, which is basically, this guy used to get battered and has got loads of great stories about it.
The television has immeasurably just dropped off a fucking cliff.
Oh, 100%.
I know that the American late night shows still try and gin up that sort of sense of... having a cozy name-dropping conversation with somebody who's hammered and has lived a life.
Yeah.
But they're just boring.
But they're not hammered.
No.
And they haven't lived interesting enough lives.
No.
Because ultimately, just being in loads of films isn't that interesting.
But Fallon bloody sells it, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Slapping the table.
Yeah.
Laughing at their NFT adverts.
But a Peter Ustinov, they used to just put him on the chair.
Yeah.
No one interviewing him.
Yeah.
It just it's basically like they'd walked
the
him...
following actors are gay.
It's like the producers, it's like they'd had something, they'd had like Dave Allen booked in, and Dave Allen, for whatever, you know, family thing, he wasn't available. But we've got a full audience in a TV studio ready to go.
Just pop round the corner to the Yorkshire Grey and
just
get somebody on.
Grab Peter Ustinov by the shoulders as he's still talking.
He's still clutching his pint as well.
Clutching his pint. They sit him down in front of the studio audience. Yeah. They're all drunk. Yeah. they don't know what's happening anyway.
Beautiful.
Just... A golden era of British television.
Yeah.
I'd also like to bring up another thing about Columbo, which is just...
Would you? Would you say that you would like to bring up just one more thing about Columbo? Because that would really fit with the topic of conversation.
The comedian Frank Skinner used to talk about an argument that he used to have with David Baddiel. About, because Peter Falk, who plays
Columbo,
he has a glass eye.
Yep,
and they had an ongoing discussion as to whether or not in Columbo has a real eye, and the glass eye is playing the part of Columbo's real eye, or Columbo has a glass eye like Peter Falk.
Right, that's a good bit of. I'd love to hear Frank doing that material or talking about it.
Yeah, same.
I imagine there's quite a bit of mileage in that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that extra thing.
Steamboat Willie's out of copyright.
Yep. It's fertile ground for...
Which explains all of this artwork that you've suddenly had done on your flat walls, Andy.
Yes, we've gone Willie mad. Yeah.
Andy's house now looks like a sort of knockoff art that you get on a bad theme park ride.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were looking around the flat and we were thinking, you know, we've been here for a couple of years now, we're getting slightly bored of the aesthetics now, and we had been inspired over the course of, you know, lockdown and the crypto boom and NFTs and that sort of thing by the Bored Apes, and how you could take one sort of standard image and then procedurally alter it in a variety of exciting ways with different sort of add-ons and stuff. So we've got a lot of different Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouses all around. Some of them have sort of like peeling gangrenous flesh. Some of them have MS-13 style face tattoos.
Yes, I can see one.
Hitler, or, you know, if you're a more modern type of guy, Robert Mugabe mustaches. It's
yes,
it really is a feast for the eyes.
Have you ever actually watched Steamboat Willie?
No, of course I fucking haven't.
No, I have.
Right. How would you rate it?
It's the first.
It's no Boogie Nights, that's for sure.
No, it's not.
Does he have a fucking huge dick? Snaking down his dungarees.
Imagine watching Steamboat Willie and going, well, it's no Gaspar Noé's Irreversible.
I might do that.
Yeah. It's a piece of history rather than something that's necessarily held up.
So, run me through it. He's sort of captaining a boat.
He's got a little boat, and then Pete, the big cat thing, appears.
Right. Yes, I think we've spoken about this maybe vaguely before, because I wasn't even aware that there was another character in it.
Yeah,
and it's Pete, and it's
sort
a cat.
Of mishaps happen, and then Minnie turns up, and they play songs together.
Right. How does she turn up? Was she initially on the? She's just in the hold.
I don't recall.
Right, she's just emptying the bilge or something because Mickey's above that.
Well, it's the first ever sort of spoken dialogue in an animation, because normally they'd have title cards.
Right.
But Minnie turns to Mickey and she actually says, "I am the captain now," in a Somalian accent.
Right. Yeah. And what does Pete have any say in this, or has he been dispatched by this point?
He's been dispatched.
Okay. How?
I can't remember, but if I were to guess, I would say shot in the head and thrown overboard.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can see why the Disney Corporation didn't feel the need to renew the copyright. It's off its time.
Yeah, and they're not really they're not really gearing up to build a sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe around. Although, to be fair, there is this is an incredibly nerdy thing to talk about. Some listeners may be aware of the Kingdom Hearts
game. I was about to say, you're going to bring up Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. For those not in the know,
yeah,
there is an insane sort of Marvel-style Disney universe that is also a crossover with the extremely popular Final Fantasy video game series, in which Mickey, Goofy, Donald, and various Disney characters are treated incredibly seriously,
yeah,
with a sort of Baroque, eternal struggle, anime-style fantasy sort of thing.
My friend David has explained this to me on a number of occasions. I've never played one, but every time he does, it feels like it's a sort of fever dream and it's not real.
The storylines are absolutely incomprehensible, and then you look at footage of the game and they're just sort of in the nursery from Toy Story hitting some like slightly evil looking toys.
Yeah.
And then someone talks to you about, well, the darkness has stolen everyone's souls.
Yeah. It's the kind of sort of creative endeavor that does give me some hope. If something like that can be made
and
persist,
and they're hugely popular,
then you know, maybe it's still possible to create, even if it does require a sort of weird postmodern melding of two sort of diametrically opposed products.
I believe those games are Japanese, and I think the hope comes from, there is a thing in Japanese popular culture where in a lot of Western sort of games or films or TV shows, something would happen and the natural thing would go, obviously we have to explain to the audience
why this
happened. And the Japanese attitude to
this
that
is here
is absolutely fuck you.
Yeah, I think that's a much better way of going about things.
Do you have any anecdotes or experience with chainsaws?
No, I don't. I'm trying to think of anything. Have you ever watched the, what's it called? It's on like Eurosport or something like that, the Wood Sports.
Right.
Where it's like a kind of like Nordic Scandi pastime, which is mostly concerned with highly skilled sort of lumberjack based operations, like getting the thinnest cut of wood with a chainsaw, or just like fucking monstering a huge trunk in no time at all.
That sounds pretty awesome.
That's quite good. It's one of those sort of sports that you can lose an afternoon to if you're just flicking through the channels.
Yeah.
Like, say it's middle of lockdown, you and your housemates are about 10 cans deep by 4 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And there's ski jumping on.
Yeah.
You know, half an hour of that, you're an expert.
Yeah. This is when I start to wish I'd actually lived with housemates during the pandemic.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so lonely. Have you ever played Hammerschlagen?
No, what the fuck is that?
So it is it's a pub game. I think it's German in origin. And you have part of a log in the pub, and you hammer some nails into it so that they're mostly sticking out of the log,
right,
but just so that they're firm and they're all sort of equally, they're at equal heights.
Yes.
And then you take it in turn with a hammer and you pick a nail, and it's basically you get one strike of the nail. And it's who gets it flush with the wood first.
Ah.
But it's a brilliant game because being slightly pissed throws your aim off.
Yeah.
And also you're constantly having to make a decision between how hard you strike the nail and how accurately you strike the nail.
Yeah.
Because you can go in and go, I'll really make a dent in it.
Yeah.
And you can either throw it off so it's in one key, or you can just miss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you've lost a sort of turn compared to everyone else. So it's actually really good.
This feels like the sort of game that would be conducted with a crowd of extremely red men around the back of you, all with fists raised in the air, clutching dollar bills, all shouting and sweating. And there's a sort of like there's a naked light above you, and it's swinging slightly.
And
everybody's shouting.
I don't think so. I think it's got more of a...
Well, I mean, you've seen it, or you've got an understanding of it, so you presumably would.
Well, because it's German, I think it's just a thing that sort of people do quite calmly in the back of a pub and have a good time and then just do something else.
Mm.
I think if we British had invented a game with a similar amount of violence associated with it, it would be
you'd have to wear tailcoats whilst doing it.
And, you'd have to wear tailcoats, and you'd be hammering the nails into a woodland creature's skull.
Yeah,
and it's who can get it flush with the rest of the skull first.
Where did you encounter this?
In a pub in my hometown.
Ah, the woodland folk.
Yeah.
On the borders. Yeah.
It's sort of
course, you didn't get telly until 1998. So
it's quite a hipstery pub in my hometown.
What's it called?
Something and Can, I think.
It's made a big impact on your memory then.
Absolutely, yeah.
Smashing. That's what one of the things that you do whilst playing Hammerschlagen.
Our two guests in this episode are Adam Rhys-Davies and Andy Field.
Yep. You can find Andy Field online if you search for Andy Field. He's been on before. You can go back to the end or start of that episode and pick up whatever plugs we did for him there. He's got a new podcast with his friend Kieran, which is called Good Podcast Mate Congrats or something like that.
And Adam Rhys-Davies can also be found online and is often performing as his character Graham de la Cruz.
Let's fucking light this motherfucker up.
Adam Rhys-Davies and Andy Field, thank you very much for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
You're very welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm excited. No, thank you.
Thanks.
We're probably excited. In the 24 hours that myself and Andy have been alive, we have come to learn something of the following three things. These are the three things we know about.
Columbo.
Steamboat Willie.
Chainsaw.
These are the things that we have an understanding of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Andy Field.
Yes.
In 1 minute, could you please explain to us who William Tell is? Your time starts now.
I don't know.
Who do you think William Tell is?
Care to do anything
is?
With your William remaining Tell, 58?
I don't know. Sounds like Alexander Graham Bell.
Well, who's that?
Rhymes with it. Well, that's the person who invented the television. The television is the thing that Columbo was broadcast on. You know, it was a television program.
Right.
What does rhymes with mean?
Rhymes with is when it sounds the same. So like same and fame, those rhyme with each other. Those are two different words.
Alexander Graham Bell, William Tell.
Yeah.
They don't sound the same.
Bell and Tell. It's usually what it ends with that's the most important.
What the end bit sounds the
same. Yeah, although in an ideal world for it to be a perfect rhyme, Alexander Graham and William would need to be like a similar level of syllables. So it's not
what's
perfect.
A syllable?
Syllable is like the beat in a word. So like
it's a beat.
Graham Bell would be like gray. Those are two like. So it's when you have to change
the different sound parts.
Yeah, yeah, the different sound parts of words. Yeah.
And Alexander Graham Bell invented the television.
Or was it the telephone? I don't know.
Time's up. Thanks very much indeed. Andy Field, in 1 minute, you've explained to us that William Tell doesn't rhyme with Alexander Graham Bell, who invented television.
Well, Tell rhymes with Bell.
Yeah.
But I really, now that we say it, I don't think he did invent the television.
No. Okay, so we've learned nothing.
Well, we've learned about rhymes and syllables. I think that was productive from like a linguistic building block.
It's all good information.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I don't think, yeah. I would love to know who William Tell is, though, if anyone knows.
We don't know.
Gravity. He directed Gravity. Why are you laughing? You don't know what that means.
No, but we're taking visual and yeah. sort of context
You're
clues.
You're just laughing in politeness because we're laughing. That's nice.
Hmm. Yeah, it felt like the thing to do at the moment.
Yeah.
Adam. In
Hello.
1 minute, could you please explain to us who Doja Cat is?
Time starts now.
So, are you familiar with the concept of music?
There's some music in Steamboat. There's some sounds in Steamboat Willie. Yeah.
There is. More melodic sounds is music.
So perhaps the opening of Columbo?
Yeah, so there's a theme tune for Columbo.
Right.
How does that go in?
Columbo...
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
As far as I remember.
And that will be sung by someone.
What's singing?
Singing is like talking, but you sing instead of talking.
Instead of talking.
Yeah.
So what is it?
It's like talking, but you different notes rather than just...
Does that affect the syllables at all?
It can do, yeah.
In what way?
Rather than speak the syllables, you will sing them.
Okay. And who is Doja Cat?
Doja Cat is a singer.
Yes.
Who's not a cat.
And what
what's a cat?
What's a cat?
A cat is like Mickey
Time's
Mouse.
Up. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Andy. Is Mickey Mouse a cat?
No. Like Mickey Mouse, but not a mouse.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Like an animal.
So,
yeah.
Doja Cat is somebody who is not like Steamboat Willie the mouse, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Who has done something to the syllables of the Columbo theme in a way that they're different from talking.
Absolutely.
He's broken them from their normal pattern.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that was pretty concise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, thanks.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What's pleasure? No, let's not.
I mean, you can expand on anything you'd like.
What's pleasure?
A beautiful sunset.
You know when Columbo like works it out at the end,
ah.
and it's like it's really satisfying,
right?
Like,
yeah, you
could say that's a sense of pleasure. Mm. You know, when you wait for
pleasure is discovering who murdered someone.
Yeah,
thank you, Andy.
Or like achieving.
Thank
a victory.
You, Andy.
Cheers.
We are aware that there are other places apart from this place, and we'd like to learn some more about them. Andy, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what or where the Leaning Tower of Pisa is?
Time
starts now.
Well, this is a good one. So, you know chainsaws?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how they cut down trees?
Yeah.
And when the trees are falling, sometimes they fall at a bit of an angle.
Nice. Right, yeah.
Right. Well, imagine if it just froze there.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
They always fall at a bit of an angle.
I know, but they fall.
What's a bit of an angle?
So as they fall,
yeah.
they go from standing up straight to being on the floor.
Yes.
And in the middle of that,
they're sort of like when they're hovering
in the air.
Between being upright and on the floor, that's an angle.
Yeah,
and
they're at an angle.
And they sometimes do that.
Well, no, they almost always fall straight to the floor. When, but imagine okay,
it's the exception that I'm interested in.
Yeah, under what circumstances does it change to a tree?
Right, so they always.
But were you to take a picture of it in the process of falling from upright to the floor,
what's
it would be
a picture
frozen
of
in
it?
Place. It's when you can freeze an image. So right now you're looking at me. Yes. So if you took a picture of me in this moment, then you would be able to hold it and be like, oh, there's
Andy
a picture
did a little
of him.
Motion right.
Oh, yeah, no, that didn't translate that on the podcast, but I did like a little
to be in
pose.
A moment, you did a little motion.
Yeah. Yeah, but so if you took a picture like that of a tree in the process of
but
falling
you,
down.
You say right. take a picture and you're not explaining what that is. What is taking a picture?
It's just like a frozen image.
It's when you freeze
right
someone.
Now, everything that you're seeing is moving around.
How do we do this?
With a camera. And a camera is literally just a thing, a machine like a chainsaw designed to take pictures.
A camera is
of
like a chainsaw.
Down.
Right.
Yeah, in the same way that there are things invented to do things. Right. But a chainsaw is invented to chop down
so
trees.
So the television's
invented
to have Columbo on it.
To take pictures.
The camera's invented to take a picture of a tree
exactly.
coming down and the
but
chainsaw
either way,
takes the tree down.
If you can imagine a tree at an angle.
How does a chainsaw freeze someone?
No. Totally different things that they do. Chainsaws okay. cut down trees.
Yes.
Cameras freeze people into permanent images, but they're like separate. It's like another clone, you know? But it never
cameras,
moves or speaks.
Cameras make mute clones.
Yeah, exactly. Just like A4
printed out.
Thank
you, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
In your 2 minutes, you've explained to us that the Leaning Tower of Pisa...
I never quite got to it.
...is in some way related yeah. to the practice of creating... mute frozen clones
of trees,
yes,
that are,
yeah,
betwixt, yeah, one upright of the... and on the floor.
I felt like I was pretty close to tying all of that together, but maybe another time, it's fine.
Maybe there'll be opportunity, yeah.
Who knows,
later,
but could come up later. Adam,
hello.
Could you please explain to us where Snappy Snaps is
and what it is? Your time starts now.
So, Snappy. So, like we just talked about cameras.
Yeah, you got
creating
start, yeah.
Mute, still mute, frozen clones
that
of trees.
You can physically hold and look at.
You can hold the tree clones.
The product of a tree clone is a picture.
What is the product of a tree clone?
Not quite sure. A frozen image, a picture. So
right.
You will take one of your camera devices.
Is a picture different to a frozen tree clone?
You may have taken a picture of a tree clone.
Okay. So is the picture something that the frozen tree clone is contained within, or is the frozen tree clone the same as a picture?
Yes.
No, which?
The first one.
The first one is a yes. thing that a frozen tree clone... And what is that?
It's an image. So I'm looking at you now.
And we're back on this, are we?
And I want to remember it forever. So I use okay. my...
Why?
Because it may be the last time I see you.
Okay.
So I'll take that and yes. then back in the old days...
Take it, so it's a thing you can hold.
Well, in the camera, first of all, but I can't see it yet because I need to get it ready. So I will take it to
what
a
need,
snappy
what
snap.
Do you need to get it ready for?
Because it's in the camera right now.
So you've got to right. try and get it out of the camera.
Got to get it out of the camera.
Okay.
And the people that can get it out of the camera
yeah.
are the people that work in Snappy Snaps.
Who are the people who work in Snappy Snaps?
Lovely work.
Lovely people. Work is doing something for money.
Right, okay.
To then...
Like the murderers in Columbo.
Yeah.
Some of them do it for money. Some of them do it because...
So murdering people is a job.
Some view it as a job.
Mm.
Some people...
Who views it as a job?
Serial killers.
What's a serial killer?
Someone that does it again and again.
Who murders people for money.
Yeah, not always money.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Hey, thank you.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learnt there about Snappy Snaps?
Yep. So Snappy Snaps is a place that you would take your camera to get a frozen tree clone, mm-hmm. and it would be... people in there who may or may not be murderers are capable of extracting this clone from the camera
because they want to remember it forever.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ed.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah,
succinct.
Nice stuff.
Thank you so much.
One area of human experience that we are particularly keen to learn more about is the world of art.
Art.
And the world of creativity. Andy.
Yeah.
In 3 minutes, could you please explain to us as much as you know about The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh,
your time starts now.
Oh. All right. Imagine if Columbo was black. All right. At a base level. So, everyone in Columbo is black. And they're all actually his family. And they live in a big house. But like, change all of the narrative.
Andy,
yeah?
When you say black, what do you mean?
Oh, it's just sort of like a shorthand word to denote people whose skin is like a different colour.
Like Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, so Steamboat Willie's like, he's black and white, but that's like, yeah. That's different to, okay. We would say people who aren't cartoons, like, you're white. But like Michael Jordan
that's
is
good
black.
To know.
Or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is black.
Who's Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan's a basketball player, let's ignore that. Didn't want to bring it
up. No, what's basketball?
Not. Basketball is actually something that the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air does.
Okay.
He was on the court shooting some hoops outside on the
school.
Is that before a couple of guys who
is that before
no
or
good
after he solves the murders?
Started causing trouble in his neighborhood. No, I was saying we should get rid of the narrative aspects of Columbo. We're just trying to picture a TV program where everyone's black rather than like detectives.
But you said the Fresh Prince was like Columbo. Does he have one eye?
No, just in the
does
sense,
he have one eye pointing in another direction?
Sometimes, depends where he's looking. But it's more but
I mean separate to the other eye that he's got.
He might have ambidextrous eyes,
is
I don't
he,
know.
Is he called Columbo or does he...
No, he isn't. He's
called, is he called Black
he's called
Columbo.
Will, actually. Yeah, yeah. Will. You could, I mean, in certain Will. Ways, he is a Black Columbo. He's getting to the bottom more of social issues.
Okay. And if he's just about to solve the social issue, but he requires an extra piece of information,
yeah.
What would he say?
Well, at the end of every episode, he gets everyone together and he's like, yo, I've worked out that we should be kind to each other, you know, something like that.
And that's solving a social issue.
Yeah, maybe. Every episode they solve a different social issue. That's
okay.
The aim.
And who are the other people in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Well, there's his best friend DJ Jazzy Jeff.
What's that?
Well, DJ it means disc jockey, and it's someone who plays music, like from Steamboat Willie.
It's someone who ruins the theme tune to Columbo.
Yeah. But in so many diverse ways, you can barely tell it's the Columbo theme tune.
Does disc jockey Jazzy Jeff have a counterpart in Columbo?
I'll be honest, I've never seen an episode of Columbo, but maybe.
Most of the characters change. There's Columbo and then an unseen Mrs. Columbo.
Yeah, well, he's sort of like a Mrs. Columbo.
Can you see him?
Right.
Sometimes. But sometimes he's thrown out of the house, straight out of shot, and you just hear him go, whoa!
Why is he thrown out?
Murder?
Well, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's Uncle Phil doesn't like him.
Thanks. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Thank you. Your time is up.
That's all right.
Andy, you've explained to us that The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is a black Columbo in which Will Smith, Will solves social murders.
Yeah.
Wait, Will
yeah.
Who?
Huh?
I did say Smith, in all fairness.
Yeah.
So you might know that.
Sometimes words occur to me.
Yeah.
And Uncle Phil doesn't like DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
I'm pleased with that one.
Yeah,
I watched it.
I feel a lot more overflowing with knowledge now, and I hope that I become absolutely full to the brim on the next round.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right?
For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Adam, could you please explain to us in 3 minutes the work of art Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Your time starts now.
Oh, musical theatre. So,
what's that?
We've got a basic understanding of what a song is.
Okay, so imagine.
When syllables are different.
Imagine Columbo was happening.
Black or white?
Doesn't matter either. Some of them were black and white, some of them were colour, but it will be in colour.
Okay.
Because he's got an amazing colour, Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Right.
Okay.
Now imagine a telly program like Columbo was happening in front of you for real, and you're seeing the people in front of you.
Telly does happen in front of you for real.
Yeah, but they're inside. They're not inside. You're watching.
Where are they?
They were somewhere else when they made it
in the television.
They're not in the television.
Do you, in order to get the Columbo in the interesting coat out of the television, do you need to go to like a comparable Snappy Snaps to get the tree clones out of a camera?
No.
Oh.
Joseph is based on Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yes.
You'd go to a theatre.
A theatre?
Yeah.
So it's a sort of Snappy Snaps for
the television.
It's
like a big Snappy Snaps.
And the murderers there are capable of...
Well, the murderers there are like ushers.
What do ushers do?
Tell you to sit down to watch the show.
So they're murderers, but they just tell you to sit down.
Well, they just don't murder.
So they're not murderers.
What are they paid to do?
Just to... make you sit down and have your sweets.
How much are they paid for that?
Probably quite little. Okay.
What sweets?
So why don't they become murderers?
Some of them could be murderers, but most murderers won't.
So when you go to a theatre, you never know.
You could be sat next to a murderer, but most murderers won't tell you if you're a murderer because that's bad murdering.
Well, that would put Columbo out of the job, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Columbo's job is to say you're the murderer.
Cool. But Columbo's not here. We're in a big Snappy Snaps.
He could be if we had a television.
He could be, but we're in a big Snappy Snaps about to watch one of the greatest musicals.
Okay.
On stage.
And a musical is?
A musical is, imagine Columbo, but he'd get so angry about something, the only way he could get that over to you is by singing it in a song.
What's he angry about?
He could be angry about... who's taken my coat? It's my lovely golden Technicolor dream coat, and they've taken it. And now
Columbo would be able to figure that out.
Yeah, but Columbo is not in Joseph.
You said it was a Columbo wearing a big coat.
Yeah. No, but like imagine. So instead of Columbo,
you
got your main part, which is Joseph.
Yes, and he's a sort of different Columbo.
He's a Columbo in that he's a person, but he doesn't solve crimes.
You could have just said that.
Okay. I could have. I really want to talk to you about how amazing Joseph from the Amazing Technicolor
Dreamcoat
is.
Well, you've got 5 seconds.
It's got really lovely songs.
Yeah. Your time is up.
Thank you, Adam.
Well, I feel like there was a lot of information in there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was always too much. Yeah. It was overwhelming.
Yeah.
Andy, could you sort of sum up what we've learned there?
I'll try my best. A theatre is a sort, it's kind of like a television, except the people, the Columbo and the black Columbo, Will Smith, are there. And sometimes they get so angry they have to sing a song.
If their coat's missing.
Yeah, and you'll get told to sit down.
By someone you don't know is a murderer.
Yeah, well, you don't know, they might be.
Yeah, they.
Ushering is not paying enough, then they might get into murder on the side.
When an usher tells you to sit down, you're never really entirely sure of their work status.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thanks.
Myself and Andy are aware that other things have happened before us, and we'd like to know some more about those things. Andy.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, can you please explain to us what happened during the Battle of Hastings? Your time starts now.
1066.
What's that?
That is the year that the Battle of Hastings happened. And the year is a number that changes every year.
Why?
By one.
Why?
Right. Just to keep track of when everything happened, just relative to itself.
So just keep track of it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, you know, in 1 year, you'll be 1 year old, and it'll be easy to remember that because you'll be like, I was born in 2024, and now it's 2025, and that's one difference, so I'm one.
And there's a collective understanding of the length of a year.
Yeah, yeah, we're all just agreed on it, just mutually across the world, just to make everything easier. And in 1066...
Have we ever decided to have a short year?
I think sometimes there are leap years where there's like a couple fewer days.
Why?
Okay. I don't know. Just mix it up. Fun and cheeky. Sometimes you can pretend you forgot and like miss a day of work. It keeps us on our toes.
You forget to kill.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What's the cheekiest length of year you could have?
Well, I mean, it gets exponentially more cheeky, I guess, the shorter or longer it gets. So, a thousand days would be exceptionally cheeky.
Things get cheeky.
1 day would be very cheeky as well.
Things get cheeky the shorter they get.
I think the further away from their intended length, if we're talking about units of time.
That's good to know.
Like, if someone said, I'll be there in 10 minutes and they were there in 3 hours, you'd think that's cheeky.
Would you describe 1066 as a particularly cheeky year?
I think if someone said, let's travel back in time 5 years and you ended up in 1066, you'd say, that's cheeky. You've overshot.
Because it's not the right size.
Yeah, exactly, because it's so far away from the length that we were
saying. That's good to know. And what happened in 1066?
I think the King of England was shot in the eye with an arrow. Was that that one? You're not going to tell me. I'm going to say that's one. It's one from the Bay of Tapestry, isn't it?
What's an arrow?
I was going
to
ask that.
What's an arrow? Oh, it's like a pointy thing that you can just use this projectile to fire really, really hard and it would just go... Straight in your face.
Mm. Would that be cheeky?
That'd be more on the rude side.
Your time is up. Thank you, Andy. What we've learnt there is 1066 was a cheeky amount of time in which the King of England was rudely had something put in his eye.
Yeah, he killed him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And what's that?
That's when you just stop breathing and seeing and feeling and everything, and you just die. You're dead. You're numb.
And Columbo has to find out why.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
That's what happens in Columbo. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Or if you mishap with a chainsaw. Mm.
We are new to all of this.
Yeah, no, of course, of course.
Adam.
Hello.
Would you be able to tell us in 2 minutes what happened when Elon Musk took over Twitter?
Your time starts now.
So, Columbo, there's always...
Black or white?
We'll go white.
White Columbo.
Why not? So in Columbo, there's always a baddie, the one that's done the killing. It's the bad person.
The murderer.
Yeah.
A murderer, yeah. And we know that that's bad. Mm-hmm. And we know that they're bad from the beginning. And Elon Musk is a bad one.
Right.
I'm going to challenge you there. I don't think that we always know in Columbo that someone's the murderer from the beginning. I think it's Columbo's job to find out.
No, you always know from the beginning who's murdered. That's why Columbo was very exceptional of its time, because it switched the format of the crime drama.
What's a crime drama?
Columbo.
It's when you're watching someone in a television work out who the murderer
who's
is.
Who's done a bad thing. Right. Normally murder in uh-huh. Columbo.
But normally you wouldn't know who the murderer is beforehand.
In a Columbo, yes.
So in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, we know who's taken his coat from the start.
I actually don't... Yeah, because the brothers take his coat. So we know that.
Who are the brothers?
Joseph's got lots of brothers.
Oh.
And they get really knocked off that he's got this lovely coat.
DJ Jazzy Jeff or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of Jazzy Jeffs are his brothers.
There's lots of Jazzy Jeffs. Yeah. And they're annoyed about his... Why are they annoyed about his
coat? He's got a really fancy coat.
Fancy meaning?
Like really beautiful to look at, like sparkly.
Good, good.
Really good quality. That's okay. Good quality.
And what sort of coats are the Jazzy Jeffs wearing?
Really like raggedy, horrible.
Is that why Uncle Phil's always throwing them out?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're jealous of Joseph.
They're jealous of his coat. Right.
And his ability to...
And they take his coat and they pretend that he's dead to make the dad upset.
How is he dead?
So they take his coat off of him and they chuck him down a well.
What's a well?
It's a big hole that goes into the
ground. Thank you.
I didn't talk.
Thank you, your time's up. Thank you. Andy, could you sum up what we've learned about what happened when Elon Musk...
What we've learned. we've learned that Joseph's brothers are Jazzy Jeffs, Raggedy Jazzy Jeffs, who are envious of Joseph's nice, good quality coat. Mm. And so they lob him down a well to make Uncle Phil sad.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Thanks.
And that's exactly what happened, from my perspective at least.
Yeah. Spot on.
There are so many things to learn about. We'd like to learn about some more things.
Of course.
Yeah. Andy, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what a bottle of sunscreen is?
So a bottle is like a container, something that stuff goes in.
Like a camera, which has a tree clone
in it. Yeah, so cameras have pictures in them. But a bottle could have like liquids in them, like water, like you know, Steamboat Willie. The boat is on water.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you put a container, a little mouse, or a bottle into the water, then that would have water in it.
Do you have to go to Snappy Snaps to get the water out if you wanted
it's
it to come
absolutely
out?
Unrelated to it.
But it's a container, so you have to go to the theatre to get a Columbo out of the television.
And then there's some sort of intermediary who has to get something out of a different kind of container.
And then you go to Snappy Snaps to get tree clones out of a thing. So where do you need
the
someone
good,
to
the
get
good
the...
thing about a bottle is you can fill it up and empty it yourself with
do
liquid.
You get, do you get paid
and,
for that?
I suppose if you were to do it really well, maybe live stream it on the internet.
Does the mouse have an emotional reaction to if you take some of the water?
The mouse isn't always there.
When does it go?
Depends on the body of water. Well, I suppose he's usually with his steamboat, but you don't have to get it from the body of water with a steamboat in it. You could get it from a puddle or a lake or a river.
Does the presence of the steamboat affect the quality of the water in any way?
I think it might do, actually, really. I mean, it's slightly polluting old technology.
So where would you rank a puddle, steamboat water?
I suppose it depends what you want to do with the water. But what we're talking about...
What could you do with water?
You could drink it or use it to wash yourself, or you could throw it at someone in their eyes. If it was really dirty and gross, that might be like a good way to spite them.
And that water would be...
Maybe puddle water you throw at someone.
Okay.
What's sunscreen?
Yeah, well, that's what I've been trying to get around to, really. It's like water, but it's thicker, and you can put it on your skin, and it protects you from being burnt by the sun.
What's the sun?
It's like outside. It makes everything really bright. It goes away at night time.
Your time's up. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Now, what we've learnt there is that there's these brilliant things called bottles, and... without the aid of any kind of murderer...
technician or,
any usher or murderer or anyone who works in Snappy Snaps or a theatre, without any assistance, you can put liquid in them and take it out of them at your leisure and use that liquid for a variety of different purposes.
Yeah.
And...
throwing at people, washing yourself or drinking.
Yeah. And the sun, you can use it to protect yourself from the sun, which is a big thing that lights everything up.
Yeah, beautiful. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. I back everything I said there.
Thank you.
Good.
No, you're welcome.
Thanks so much. Adam, you please explain to us in 2 minutes what an anglerfish is. Time starts now.
So, a fish is a living creature,
like Steamboat Willie.
So imagine a mouse.
Yes.
Like Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But smaller
than a mouse.
Would you describe it as a cheeky size?
It could be a cheeky size. You can get fish in all sorts of sizes.
What is the sort of median size for a fish?
I'd say
the size around which cheekiness is defined.
Okay, so I'd say the average fish is probably the size of a flip flop.
What's a flip-flop?
Oh, yeah, of course you don't know what flip. So we're wearing shoes.
What?
Do you know what shoes are?
Yeah.
Shoes cover your feet to stop you stepping in a puddle.
Columbo
wears shoes.
The black bit at the bottom of Columbo.
Correct.
Or and white Columbo.
Mickey has... Mickey has yellow ones.
Yeah. Yellow?
Well, if you're watching Steamboat Willie, they're probably black because it's black and white film.
Yes.
But imagine imagine a shoe without a top.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a flip flop. Or I could have said okay. A fish is average size of a standard shoe.
Right. So any fish that is either smaller or larger than a flip flop is cheeky.
Yeah. Because a little fish, you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. It's a cheeky little fish.
Do you see an average fish coming? Is that?
Yeah.
How would you see a fish coming?
You'd have to
buy a dinner first.
You'd have to look in the water. If
So fish are in the water.
Fish live in the water. Mm. Yeah. If you take a fish out of water, it will die because it needs to be in the water.
It'll get murdered.
No, it dies itself. No one kills it.
It murders itself.
So well, if you were to take a fish out of the water and then it died, you would feel unconnected from that.
Yeah, you'd be the murderer.
If you took the fish out of the water,
thank
then
you.
Yeah, you're a
thank
fish
you.
Killer.
Time's up. Time's up, and thanks. Thank you very much.
How do you see a fish come in?
Yeah, hardly know her.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about an anglerfish?
Yeah, so an anglerfish is presumably, I'm inferring this, a type of fish. A fish.
We never got around to that exact bit.
A fish is kind of like it, like the bottom of a of White Columbo's shoe or a flip flop. It's around that size. Sizes can vary though. It goes cheeking us either direction. And if one were to take it out of the water where it lives, it would pass away. Mm. That's what I've got.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd like to know
how to speak.
We'd like to know more about human behaviour and things people do. Andy, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what I would be doing were I to ask Alexa to order toilet roll? Your 2 minutes start now.
Absolutely. So you know when Columbo has conversations with people, like he'll speak to someone and they'll speak back.
Yes.
Like we've been speaking to each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You could also do that with robots.
What's a robot? Yeah.
It's just like it's just a bit of technology, like a computer, like a chainsaw. But instead of chopping down trees, it can hear the things that you say and then say things back to you.
How can a chainsaw hear what you say over all of the noise?
No, it can't. It's just a machine. That's what I'm saying. In the same way that
but you
chainsaw
said you could
is,
have a conversation with it.
Yeah, so if a chainsaw didn't work at all as a chainsaw and could hear what you said and then speak back to you, that's basically more what an Alexa is.
Who
but
would,
an Alexa
who would
doesn't
make
have
that?
Any of the chainsaw accoutrements to begin with. Alexa, I think Alexa's Google.
And they started off trying to make
Amazon?
A chainsaw
Amazon.
And then
is it Amazon? Yeah, yeah.
At what point did they realise it wasn't going to be any good as a chainsaw?
I think pretty much day one. I'm almost what certain sort of it was never in the cards for it to work as one.
What sort of conversation would you have with a chainsaw that can't cut down a tree?
Well, you could ask it what the time is, and it could tell you what the time is because it can basically search the internet really fast.
What's the internet?
It's like having a personal assistant.
What's the internet?
It's sort of all of the information in the world floating through space. It can be accessed by computers, like chainsaws, but like that don't chop down trees.
A computer is the sort of snappy snaps to get information out of the world.
Yeah, yeah. A computer contains all of the information in the world,
yeah.
And you can access that. And sometimes you can just ask a little robot chainsaw.
So the chainsaw.
Sometimes you can do this.
Well, it depends on the right. You know, if you talk to a toaster, it won't answer you.
Why not?
It doesn't know what you're saying. It can't hear
Why
you.
Why not?
It's not connected to the internet.
Why not?
It's just made to toast toast.
So if you were to connect a toaster to the internet, it might be able to tell you the time.
Yeah, potentially. I think you could probably link an Alexa to a toaster.
Thank you.
But it
Thank you,
more be a. Thank yeah, you. Two separate machines.
And toilet roll.
Yeah, well, that's another thing you could ask the Alexa. Yeah, is to get
in a sentence.
Roll.
What is it?
Computer you can talk to that does stuff.
Toilet roll.
Toilet roll.
Oh, toilet roll.
Yeah, in a sentence.
paper to wipe poo from your bum.
So what we've learnt there about what I would be doing were I to ask Alexa to order toilet roll is I'd be having a conversation with a mute, useless, but all-knowing chainsaw, and I'd ask it to get me some paper to wipe poo off a bum because a toaster can't.
Yeah, I suppose the toaster bit's a bit added extra, but yeah, pretty much.
Thank you, Andy.
No, you're so welcome.
Thanks. Adam, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what we would be doing were we to be winning the jackpot on the fruity? Time starts now.
So, a fruity is a machine,
yes,
a bit like a chainsaw, but its function is you put money in it to hopefully get more money from it.
Right.
So you...
How does that work?
Yeah, so you mechanism have to match up some things on the machine.
Mm.
And if you match those things up, you win a jackpot, which is like the most amount of money you can get from that thing.
So is this someone's job to convert some money into more money?
No. So the machine does it for you.
Right.
Right.
So you put your coins...
It's the machine's job.
It's the machine's job, yeah.
Right.
It's function.
But the machine is losing money.
No, because you only win money if you win.
But the machine doesn't win any money.
It keeps your money, so it's winning all the time.
Why does it want things matched up?
Because...
What things?
Little symbols, little pictures.
Okay.
Pictures
what of? Does it get out of this?
Your money, because you don't win it very often, so you'll spend more money playing it than you will winning it. So the machine's well raking in the dollar.
So overall, it gives out less money than it takes
in? Absolutely. Right. It takes more. That's why people pay
What are the pictures?
Little pictures of fruit.
What's fruit?
Yeah.
Fruit is something you would eat from a tree, mainly.
Would you eat it from a tree when it was upright, in between the space between upright and on the floor, or on the floor?
If you're taking it when it's on the floor, it's probably going to be dead fruit. It's going to be rotten.
And so who murders the fruit?
The true person that's cut down the tree.
Right. Is fruit different from bark?
Yes, because you can't really eat bark.
Why not?
Because you can't digest it.
Would a fruit machine have different pictures of bark that you have to match up?
No, it's all.
Your time is up. Thank you, Andy.
I've never played one ever.
So we've got an understanding of different sort of types of machine. A camera is a container for clones of trees. Television is a container for Columbo. A bottle is a container for liquid. The fruit machine is a container for money that also then gives out more money. It doesn't change it into anything.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are motivated to try and match up pictures of fruit to try and get the money, even though they never do.
Correct.
Thank you, Ed.
Well,
that's genuinely a more thorough understanding than I thought you were going to come out with after that.
It's good.
No, that is,
I surprised myself.
Yeah, we appreciate all the information.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I love it.
Finally, we have a possession of the English language, but not a full understanding of it.
Sure.
So we'd like to know more about how people use the English language.
Yeah.
Andy, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to me what I would mean were I to say, that's a bit old school, about something? Your 2 minutes start now.
Old school's old-fashioned, sort of something from a past time. You know how 1066? Yeah, exactly. That would be extremely old school. Yeah. I think we usually use old school in more contemporary, kind of like 1980 would also be quite old school.
Right. What happened in 1980?
It was just a while ago. A range of things happened. People wore slightly different clothes.
Give us three things that happened in 1980.
Diana died.
Diana?
No, wait, no, she didn't. She died in the 90s.
Who's Diana?
Don't know. Doesn't matter, she's dead.
Who killed her?
I think maybe Columbo would know, but it might have been after his time. Columbo was in the 80s, I think.
Okay, that's two things.
Set in the 80s.
Diana and Columbo, and one more thing that happened in the 80s.
David Bowie was doing a lot of coke.
And who's David Bowie?
Oh, he's a fantastic musician. You know how there was music in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
And at the start of Columbo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Where David Bowie made like his own music that wasn't even based off the Columbo soundtrack.
What did
he was, like, really making his own stuff.
What did he do to syllables?
He elongated them sometimes. He sang them quite high,
quite low. Did
that make
them cheekier?
There was quite cheeky music, I would say. I think he took quite pride in
being cheeky.
Yeah, that's
a thought. If we're changing the syllables, they must become cheeky because they're a different size to their regular size.
Yeah, yeah, no, I would say.
So all music is in some way cheeky.
Yeah, yeah. So I could say like cheeky, or I could go like cheeky, and that's cheekier.
Is it possible for a syllable to become rude?
Yeah. I think so.
How?
Yeah, well, sometimes I suppose it could be a rude word, or you could just say it in a rude way, like cheeky. You know, like, and then you're being a bit rude in just the intensity. That
could you say a rude word in a cheeky way?
Shit.
Oh. I got a sense of what that, yeah. that felt.
I don't even remember the question.
And this David Bowie, did he have an amazing coat or was it a drab coat?
He's probably had a bunch of really nice coats. It was very fashionable.
So Uncle Phil left him alone.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Phil would have gotten on with David Bowie. I think he'd have been confused, though, because he was very white compared to how black Uncle Phil was.
Time is up. Thank you very much, Andy.
Would some Jeffs have tried to chuck him down a well to get one of his coats?
I think the Jeffs would have been pretty pleased to meet David Bowie.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Oh. Yeah, because they were musicians as well. So, you know, I think they would have bonded over their shared love.
In 2 minutes, we've learnt that what I would mean if I were to say something that's referred to something as being a bit old school is it means that it happened in the past. So it happened during the time period where... David Bowie was being cheeky, Columbo was on television, or Diana died.
I think that was more, but that was also quite an old school thing that happened. It wasn't necessarily in the 80s, but you would, if someone made a joke about it, you'd be like, that's old school.
Old school, that.
You know? Made a joke about it.
Any of those things, Diana dying.
Right.
What sort of joke would you make about Diana dying?
I suppose you come from a few angles. It's quite an emotive thing, so it's easy to get a reaction out of people. I've never written a joke about it, but I guess you could say something about how, you know, you could mock her seatbelt technique or something. You know, I think if we were to brainstorm, we could come up with some, but they might all be quite old school.
Well, we might learn more about what you've just said in a second, because we have the final thing to give to Adam.
Absolutely. Perfect. Adam.
Hello.
Could you tell us what we would mean if we were to say, that's a no-brainer?
Your 2 minutes start now.
So, when you... okay, I want to cut down a tree.
Right.
We know what a tree is?
Yep, we absolutely
Chainsaws,
do.
Yep.
Just checking.
We want to kill its fruits.
Yeah.
Or capture it in the space between upright and on the floor.
Yeah. Well, I want it on the floor.
Okay.
I want it gone.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and you know, you've got the tools to do that.
Well, I've got my chainsaw.
Yeah.
So I would go,
and it's not telling you what the time is. So no, time to put it to use.
It's going to cut down.
Or doing your toilet roll.
What it was intended for.
Yeah.
So I'd go, can't get that tree down with my hands. I used my chainsaw. That's a no-brainer.
Right. In this instance, have you tried to get it down with your hands?
No, because
why can't your hands get a tree down?
Because I don't think the average person is strong enough to pull a tree down.
Just like you can't pull the trees out of the camera, you need somebody to do it.
What's the average person?
The average person is... Yeah.
How big are they compared to a flip-flop?
I would say...
Or Uncle Phil.
I would say they're probably about 20 flip-flops laid out...
In terms of their length?
Stacked or...
Like toe to heel... We're kind of going.
Could you put a number on that in sort of terms of measurement?
27 flip flops.
But how long would it sort of get some sort of a measurement?
In comparison to something or.
Or just some sort of form of measurement?
500 centimetres.
500 centimetres.
That's quite tall, I just realised.
Yeah.
Okay.
174 centimetres is the average person.
Okay, so an amount of flip flops, and that's the.
Correct.
Okay. How many centimetres would you be?
100.
Okay.
And 64.
So are you cheeky?
I'm cheeky because I think I'm smaller than the average person.
You think you're smaller?
So, yeah. Okay. So I'm cheeky. Right.
Thank you.
I would have said he's about 0.6 Uncle Phil's.
No, it's you know? Uncle Philip Flip Flop. No. I've just joined.
Yeah, you just, hello. He's just switched on now. Mad timing. First joke of the show. Should we end it?
Oh. Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learnt there about the phrase? And that's a no-brainer.
If you want to get a tree down, you bypass your hands and you go straight for a chainsaw.
Yeah.
That is a no-brainer.
No-brainer, that.
Andy, at the end of all that, who do you think provided the most satisfactory explanations?
It's a no-brainer, I'm afraid. I think for the understanding of length, the cheekiness, I think I have to give it to Andy.
Yes, thank you. Well thank done, you so much.
Andy, well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks. As much as the description of snappy snaps built into our general...
Yes, I forgot about that, yeah.
General knowledge. And I do think that was kind of fundamental.
It was crucial.
I think also Andy gave the most satisfactory explanation.
I would say I laid the ground quite nicely for snappy snaps by immediately before that describing what a camera and a picture is.
I think having various axes via which to understand scale was quite handy.
Yeah.
Cheeky lengths. Cheeky lengths.
Yeah. It was cheeky.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's the same thing I teach my class. I'm actually a teacher at primary school.
Good God.
I'm not. I made that.
Oh.
Why?
Why did I make it up? I don't know. I lie about myself to feel like I'm a different person.
Andy Field, thank you very much for joining us.
I mean, that's cheeky.
Thank you.
Adam Rhys-Davies, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ooh. Rude.
Ooh. Wow. Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
That's a shame.
That's a waste of time, really, isn't it?
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.